Jonathan would like to come up and read out of Psalm 42 for us, please.
To the chief musician, Maskil, the sons of Korah, singing group. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the opportunity to be together. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's interesting how God works things out. We were going through the book of Philippians, and I had this ready for last week until I got a phone call. Of course, as it usually happens in the evening, and you're stuck doing a whole lot of wondering what's going to happen. Yeah, just open your Bibles to Philippians. I was going to say First Philippians, but there's only one of them. Oh, we'll be in Philippians 1, verses 3 through 6. And as I was putting this together last week, I couldn't help but be overfilled with joy. And after this past week, I got to realize what joy is in the midst of sorrow. So it means a little bit more to me today than it did last week. And the Lord uses that in the way he illuminates us to his word. All right. Philippians 1, 3 through 6, it says, I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the end of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, as we know, is a man of prayer. In most of his letters that he writes, he mentions that he prays for the people. He prays for the churches. He prays for those members. He gives thanks for them. Now, one letter, Paul doesn't even mention prayer. As I was going through it, and that's to the people of Galatia. Now, we went through the book of Galatians, and we know how Paul had to really correct them. However, I do believe that he's praying for them as well. That's be within Paul's nature to be praying for those, even those who were just needed to be taken out to the woodshed. He's praying for them. Now, after Paul gives his greetings to the people of Philippi, he informs them that he thanks them for the memories of them. He remembers them. Now, as we talked 2 weeks ago, Paul had some amazing things happen when he went to Philippi, when he went there twice. In his first one, he met with Lydia and her family. He met with the jailer. He met with the jailer's family, and through all of that, we see that Paul took that opportunity to teach Christ, to talk about Jesus to everybody that he came in contact with. He got to see the jailer and his family come to Jesus. He got to see God change hearts. He got to see all of that while he was in Philippi. And that was his first time there. His second time, he went, I'm going to say, about 3 years back to that same area. And we don't know much about that journey. But after he saw them a second time, 10 years has passed. And he writes to them, and most scholars believe in about 62 AD, give or take, while he was in Rome, while he was in prison. Now, even while he was in prison, he is still thanking God for the memories of the people of Philippi. These people had a huge impact on Paul's life while he was there. Now, I wish I knew more details about it, but we have what the Bible tells us, so we can speculate what they have done. Then in Paul, this is a wonderful greeting Paul gives. He gives us a little insight to his personal prayer life. In Paul's prayer life, he's always thankful when he prays. Whenever he remembers the Philippians in prayer, he's thankful for them. Now, I'm not saying that every time Paul prayed, he was thankful for the Philippians, but every time they came to his mind, these people, it came to his mind, he would make that effort to be praying for these people and be thankful for them. And more importantly, he was giving thanks to the church, the believers in Jesus Christ. He was thanking them because of the wonderful things that was happening there. Now, I know he always prayed for the lost as well, but he concentrated these prayers on the church because they were in a battle, a spiritual battle. The church, you know, as much as we like to talk about in Philippi, they did have some problems, but he still prayed for them and was thankful for them. And like I've always said, there's no one perfect church. I've never came across one, maybe because I got there, I'm not sure. But there is no perfect church. So all churches need our prayers. Especially the churches that teach the truth and not compromise truth for a lie definitely need the prayers. One that need to stand up strong for the gospel. One need to stand firm in the faith of Jesus Christ. They need prayers. They're under attack because the world hates the truth of God. It's always been that way. They want to go their own way, and God wants us to go another way. When one breaks away from the truth, it's amazing to see what happens. The world becomes more accepting of them. So Paul is praying for the church, all of them, even the ones who were having problems, those who were fighting. He's still praying for them. Now, while he was praying, the people gave him joy in his prayers. Again, there were some struggles going on in Paul's life and in the church. But there was that sense of joy knowing that the people were suffering and struggling, but they were doing it for the gospel. Paul was in prison. Paul was, they call it under house arrest. He couldn't leave. He had to stay there, but he had some mild freedom. But then again, when you think about the prisons back then, somebody had to bring you your food. They weren't going to feed you. They weren't going to bring you a nice steel tray full of Cocoa Puffs and milk or whatever. They do that. I was talking to somebody who was just there. They do have Cocoa Puffs and milk. But that's no excuse to go to jail, though. It's still not fun, he was saying. But yet he found joy in the situation he was in. It's kind of backwards to think about, but we as believers will see others struggle for the gospel, going through hard times, but yet find joy in it. You ever read stories about missionaries doing the hard stuff? Do you find joy in that? Knowing they have this desire to go out there, and they're the ones out there on the front line willing to give whatever it takes for the gospel of Jesus, they're going to be joyful about it if they have that true desire to do it. And we should be joyful for them as well, knowing that they're doing the work that God has called them to, that they actually listen to what God has called them to do, and they're out there doing it. We should find joy in that as well. It doesn't mean our hearts, they do break for the people that go through hardship, but they're concentrating on the Lord, and God's people need to be praying for them. They need praying for our missionaries. But the Philippian church did not have what I've noticed as major problems, but Paul was encouraged by them. Every time he thought about them in prayer, he was thankful for all of them. All the members. When he thought about the church, he thought about the people. He thought about the friendships. So when you think of the people and the friendships, he prayed for them and found joy in doing such. Even while he was living in the prison, found joy in it. Paul was also joyful for their support. In verse 5 it says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Now this word partnership is an interesting word in the Greek. It's koinonia, which is usually rendered as fellowship. And what it does is it describes a close relationship involving common interest and sharing. Another translation of that word is common. So when Paul used this word in the context, he was thankful for sharing in the gospel work. And I like the way the NASB reads it. It says, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. So you can see that the commonality that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have that partnership. They serve the living God. They serve the one who paid for their sins, who took the cross for them. Now this word koinonia has a two-part meaning. It means people partnered in the faith, and they are supporting those whose life it is to teach the gospel. So they have that something in common. They have the faith in common. And then there's that support that the people gave to him. Now Paul was thankful for the gifts given to him from the people. They met his needs so he can succeed. They also helped spread the gospel to others and were used to build up the local church. Now, it was important for Paul to receive the help he needed so he can continue to minister to the people. Now, if he had to work and do the ministry work, his mission would have been limited. These people helped him out. He was a tent maker. So if he had to spend time making tents so he could pay for his journeys would have been cut a lot shorter. He couldn't go out near as far without the support of the churches there. It would have been very limited. And it does get limiting if you have to do a bivocational ministry, but you're always doing ministry if you're involved with it. I remember doing youth work, working 40 hours a week, and being in church 2 days a week, and then trying to fulfill the college credits. It's taxing. You're stretched so far that a little bit of everything fails. But God will still use that. He'll still give you the time. Whatever reason, he will give you the time to do the things that you need to do. You got that whole balancing thing that you have to do. And by the support here, Paul was free to do ministry. Philippians 4:15 tells us, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. And this really helped Paul in his ministry that God has given him. The support of the church. He can stay focused on his journey. He can stay focused on studying the Word of God and help those he comes in contact with. He has more time to visit the jailer to get put in jail. He has more time to talk to Lydia. He has more time to spread the gospel message to those families because of the support of the church. this kind act freed him up so much that he could do so much work, even train up that young pastor Timothy, and to keep expanding the church. And Paul was so thankful for this. And this was another reason for his joy. For his joy. They did it out of free will. Paul never expected a gift, nor did he ever seek after one. Philippians 4:17 tells us, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increased to your credit. He didn't want it. He didn't expect it. But it was given to him. It brought him great joy because of the partnership of the gospel. It started the first day that he met them. And it continued on, it says. Even after 10 years of Paul not seeing them, it continued on. And Paul was thankful. And he wanted to make sure he wrote to these people to express his joy. He thanked God for the church in Philippi and for the joy and partnership in the gospel. And now he expresses confidence in the people. Now in verse 6 it tells us, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. That word confidence means to be persuaded. He was persuaded. Paul knows without a doubt this thing that he's telling them, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul knows that God has started a good work in the people because of the partnership. It showed through their acts. Now, when it says a good work in you, we're going to translate that into Winter, South Dakota. Y'all. It means y'all, even though it says you. What he's doing, it's a collective, individual, and it's the church. And it's the church. So God started a good work in y'all, meaning the people who were there. By God allowing the people to hear the gospel message and God changing hearts, we see the effect of that. It's evident. Their actions are displayed. Their actions are displayed, the gospel message, by supporting those who are spending their lives defending it. God is going to keep growing the believers in the church. If you're a believer in him and you allow him to do that, he will grow you, and it goes beyond. God is going to, see, what God's got this goal for the church. God's got this goal for the individual. And he's going to see it completed in you. You might go kicking and screaming, but he's going to see it completed. It will be completed, and their work will be done when Jesus says so. Whether he calls us all right now in a rapture, or whether he takes us home individually, that's when your work is done, when he calls you home. Paul reminds them that Jesus will see the job complete. They started for Jesus, with the help of Jesus, and Jesus will see that the work gets done. See, Paul starts off by giving thanks to these people. Every time he prays, he gives thanks for them just as individuals and their caring hearts, and he gives thanks for their generosity. They are partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul writes to them to be sure to thank them, even though he's in jail. He knows that Christ started something good in them, and that good will continue on till all the work is done. So those of you that are sitting here, those of you that are listening, if you're still alive, you have a heartbeat, and you still got breath in you, God's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for you. No matter what condition you're in, even if you're limited, he's got a plan for you. Now, while I was studying this passage, I was thinking on the attitude of prayer and the things that we pray for. It seems the things we pray for are the people hurting or struggling most of the time, right? They get most of the attention. Is that wrong?
No.
It's not wrong. But what about the people who are doing well? Are we praying for them? Are we praying for them? Are we praying for people who have joy? Are we praying for people who have things kind of going okay? We're just focused on the hurting. Nothing wrong with it, but we can't forget the others. We can't forget the people of the church as well. Are we giving thanks for people in the ministry who teach the word? Now, we have so many teachers for Awana. We've got Sunday school, kind of, sort of, lately. We got those leading that. Are we praying for them? Are we praying for those that lead us in music? Are we thankful for it? So we need to get our mind set on being thankful for the things that we already have and the blessing that God has given us without forgetting the hurting people as well. Now, me personally, I'm thankful for this congregation. Thankful for their support. Without some of y'all, I couldn't have left. Couldn't have got the family together. So, Rob, I am emotional. Does show through. Thank you. Got to see Ashawn's brothers for the first time. Took a death to do it. But God got us together. So hard doing a funeral for somebody like that. I'm very thankful for the generous people out there that allowed that to happen. For the partnership in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I got to do the funeral for my mother-in-law. And my best compliment I'm going to share with you guys was from a non-believer. He says, Justin, you did a good job. You got too preachy. I said, thank you. I said, thank you. You know about Jesus now. You know about Jesus. So if I were to write something like this to you guys, it would be thank you for all that you did, for the prayers, the support, the text messages, just everything. And Shauna would say the same thing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just thank you so much that you are a God in control, that you are here with us. You help us through times of struggling. And yet, even though we're struggling, going through hardship, Lord, we got this joy. Got this joy that only comes from you. It's not an emotional state. It's knowing that you are in control, knowing that you're with us, that you guide us, that you help us, that you protect us, that you have work that you complete in people. You hear us and you guide us. And Lord, keep us focused on you. Keep us focused on the things of you. Help us to be more thankful for what we do have. Help us to get that heart. Help us to reach others for you. Help us to spread that good news of your Son and what he did on the cross. Help us to be a little bit too preachy. We need that. We need to impact others for the gospel. And we thank you that you give us the opportunities to do that. Help us to be focused on you through these days, weeks, and months ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.